Nick reads the news, episode one. Well, not episode one, because I've read the news before. Episode for March 16th, 2018, 15, where Nick will read the news. I do not know if this is a secret PCL VIP show only, or if this is going out in place, in luau, as they call it, in luau of a break show. In lieu? Wait, what's the word? In place of, in lieu of? That's weird. Why would you put something in a lieu? Back when I was a kid, I was always like, I'm going to contact you via email. Or no, I wasn't like that. Someone else was like that. I'll contact you via email. I'm like, why do people keep saying via? What does that even mean? Why can't you just say, I'll contact you by email? Or I'll contact you by phone? It seems like via always has to do with... maybe it doesn't. I was going to say it always has to do with like technology or communication, but I guess you could always be like, I'm going to drive to New York via the highway. Could you? Maybe not. All right, so we are getting into the news here. We've got breaking news here. 54-year-old man sets Guinness World Record for the most pull-ups in 24 hours.
Check it out. This is Mark Jordan setting the world record for most pull-ups within 24 hours. He finished 4,320 of them.
That seems extremely quiet, and I cannot turn it up any louder. I'm sorry.
All caught on video. That was last fall, but today, Guinness World Records just confirmed he's your champion. And for the record, Jordan is 54.
He's doing it right in front of a... Oh, my God. Okay, so here's the setup. He's doing pull-ups. He's directly in front of a banner that says CrossFit.
Confirmed. He's your champion. And for the record,
right in front
Jordan
of him doing it is a computer.
50.
Or it's probably not. I mean, I'm sure it's a computer, but it's not. It's a monitor. And then there's just a big number on it. 1,511 he's up to. And there's a timer going, and he's up to...
4 years old.
It's a count. Is it a count up timer or a count down timer?
4 years old.
Count up timer. So he's up to 6 hours, and he was at 1,500 pull-ups.
I am 54 years old, and my message, my mission, my passion with this is to let everybody know that it's never too late to start to make a difference as far as improving and optimizing your health. And
I'm going to skip ahead. Oh, by the way, for this news segment, I have not reviewed any of these videos. I have just lined them up, and we're going to be going through them so that I can give you the news. Oh, crap, I just realized something. I'm going to be cutting, well, whatever. Hopefully it'll sound fine. So, I guess, oh my God, so who's judging this? Is it just that fat lady at the computer judging his pull-ups? Like, what if he does a pull-up that's only, it goes up to his, like, eyes and it doesn't go up to his chin? There's got to be a rule. We got to look this up. Guinness World Record rules most pull-ups. And does he sleep? Like, if you're doing the most pull-ups in 24 hours, you can't. Oh, here we go. Most pull-ups in 24 hours. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, can't find the rules. That's nice. There really need to be rules on this thing. Here's another record. Most pull-ups in 1 minute with a 40-pound pack. What does that mean? You wear a backpack? Yeah, let's click back over to the video and see how it's going. Okay, so he did a bunch of pull-ups. Now he's taking a break. Now he's getting back on the bar. Oh, doing more pull-ups. Ooh. Ooh. I guess the rule maybe is just your chin has to get above the bar and then it counts. Well, that's pretty interesting. I want to read the in-depth rules of what he's allowed to do. Can he do it nude? Because I feel like...
It took him a year to prepare.
Because he's wearing nothing but these pair of shorts, but I feel like... Oh, no, he's wearing shoes, too. I feel like you should do it without shoes, because that's, like, one less thing you need to lift up. When I'm trying to weigh myself, I strip off all of my clothes, obviously, because I need to weigh the lightest possible. Okay, so that was the man who does 54. He's 54 and he does pull-ups. Okay. Next story, 10. California high school boys arrested in a sexual assault of two girls. 10 boys aged 14 to 17 were arrested Friday on accusations of unlawful sex acts against two underage girls for more than a year on and off the campus of the Venice High School. 8 of the 9 male students were arrested on campus and the other was taken into custody off campus, and one turned himself in. Detectives have identified a total of 14 people who allegedly sexually assaulted the two females. How can this be real? All right, let's scroll ahead and see how we think that they were assaulted. Does not say that they were assaulted, so are we just, is this just the list of boys that happened to be with the underage slut? Let's watch the video.
Today I'm going to discuss a series of arrests that we've made at Venice High School and off campus of a series of incidents that have occurred recently. On Tuesday, March 10th, school administrative officials from Venice High School contacted the Los Angeles Police Department's Special Assault Section detectives and said they had a possible victim of a possible sexual assault. Our detectives from the LAPD's Special Assault Section responded and they conducted an investigation. During that investigation, they were able to locate two victims, both students at Venice High School, who we believe were victims of a series of sexual assaults both on and off campus. They continued their investigation over the next day, and they were able to identify 14 subjects that we believe are responsible for these sexual assaults and unlawful sex acts. This morning, Los Angeles
and
Police
on
Department
and off campus. I bet the girls were like,
"LA school police,
meet me in the bathroom. We'll do it." And then they found the list of 14 boys that had met her in the bathroom to do it.
High school and made a series of arrests. A total of 8 students are now in custody. An additional student was taken in custody off campus, so we have 9 of the 14 are in custody. Those individuals are being booked for a series of sections, including 602 of the Welfare and Institutions Code, 288APC, which is a sexual assault section,
APC,
and 288AB1PC, which is an unlawful sex section. The subjects in this case that have been arrested are between 14 and 17 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, that's the dumbest story I've ever heard, and not because it's a dumb story, but because it's just not well reported, I don't think. My nose just started running. Here's some information on an IRS scam going around hitting up old people.
Welcome back to Bustin' Loose, Frank Garcia.
These days, former NFL player Frank Garcia is a sports radio talk show host.
But it sure seems like he's leaning in that direction.
He's on the air 3 hours each weekday in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
But he's also one of tens of thousands of Americans who the government says have been duped out of their money in one of the fastest growing tax scams around. People pretending to be IRS agents call and demand money, threatening that if you don't pay immediately, you'll end up in jail or worse. Listen.
Internal Revenue Services. The issue is very time sensitive and your address is under state investigation.
So they call you with a recording and they say, "This is very important. Time sensitive. Your address is in the thing. The reason of this call is to inform you that IRS is filing lawsuit against you." Wait a minute. That's not... They're skipping words. Hang on. Let's listen to it in real life. The subtitle says, "The reason of this call," first of all, it should be "the reason for this call." "The reason of this call is to inform you that IRS is filing lawsuit against you."
"The reason of this call is to inform you that IRS is filing lawsuit against you."
Are you kidding me? Someone falls for that? Did you hear that voice? Let's go back.
Last fall, oops. Garcia got a call.
What happened?
Is under state investigation.
"The reason of this call is to inform you that IRS is filing lawsuit against you."
That's the voice that you type into a Macintosh in 1998, and it's the auto voice. By the way, do you think those scammers would pay me to do like proofreading on their stuff? Because I feel like the investment, like if you can invest in a solid English speaking person with a good grasp of pronouns and tenses and things like that. I think your scam, hits are going to go like through the roof, right? So invest in like one or two Americans that can do this. Pay them huge. I'd do this, right? And then I can just say, what? I don't know what I was doing. I was working for a Nigerian writing company, and they just wanted someone who could proofread their work. It's not my fault that all of the stuff they sent me said, send me $1 million and I will deposit $18 million into your account. I had no idea what they were doing. I was just editing for punctuality.
Last fall, Garcia got a call just like those.
I had to follow specific steps in order to not be arrested, that the authorities had been contacted, and in fact, they're on their way, and they will be there within 30 minutes. And if you don't respond, one way or the other, they will arrest you.
Many, many people are afraid when they hear from the Internal Revenue Service, so they do whatever the caller says.
Garcia says the woman on the phone sounded so authentic that he left the radio station in a panic.
The only thing running through my head is, I'm going to jail. I'm going to be on the front of the television, in handcuffs, for tax evasion.
The thieves are incredibly convincing. They can detail their victims' financial histories down to the cent. They harness the same technology used to steal your identity to make you believe that they're legitimate.
They determine where you bank. They could look to see what other stores are around the bank so that they could direct you to a place to convert cash into a prepaid debit card.
In fact, Garcia says he spent 5 hours driving to various stores.
So the government takes prepaid debit card? That's the only way you can pay your taxes? We're going to need you to convert about $2,000 worth of cash into a prepaid debit card and then swipe it at this location. That'll pay your taxes. Thanks.
Around Charlotte, depositing $500 each time into a PayPal account.
Oh my God.
Set up by the woman on the phone, all the while not hanging up.
Roughly around $4,000 that I was scammed for, so 8 stops.
Federal
what?
Authorities
Hang
tell
on.
Us this
we have to
is
go back.
By
we
far
have to go
the
back. Did they say that he was going around town while on the phone depositing money into PayPal accounts?
To various stores around Charlotte.
Yep. The bank, so they could direct you to a place to convert cash into a prepaid debit card.
In fact, Garcia says he spent 5 hours driving to various stores around Charlotte, depositing $500 each time into a PayPal account set up by the woman on the phone.
I mean, he is ex-football player, so he's not up there in the brain.
All the while not hanging up.
Roughly around $4,000 that I was scammed for, so 8 stops.
Federal authorities tell us this is by far the largest scam of its kind they've ever seen. Since it began in 2013, the Treasury Department says victims have been swindled out of more than $15 million.
We've tracked over 366,000 reports.
Okay, I'm skipping ahead.
The woman on the phone asked for more money, another $8,000. He says he decided to hang up and wait for the arrest that she had promised, which of course never came.
I felt taken advantage of. I felt small. I felt like
you're
I was
dumb.
Naive.
You don't drive around town paying your taxes at 8 different locations. I don't think that's how the government works. We can't get you to put it all in one because we're the government and we have rules about how much money you can give us at one time. So you're going to need to drive around to 8 locations. It's going to be a scavenger hunt, actually. You're going to have to decode all of the riddles in order to find out where to drop your $500 each. And only if you do that, will we not arrest you and put you in a saw trap. Oh, goodness. Okay, guys, so don't answer the phone for anyone claiming to be the government or the IRS at any time. And don't pay your taxes either. Okay? Cool. 30 years ago, the first .com address was registered or something, originally launched by the U.S. Department of Defense. In the same year as Live Aid, what is Live Aid, and the release of the first Back to the Future film, .com was originally intended as an internet designation for commercial entities. Match.com got off to a relatively slow start, with only a handful of companies initially registering a domain. The first to get involved were largely technology companies and included the likes of Intel and Siemens. Siemens. All right, let's scroll down. Today.com websites are accessed trillions of times each day. We know. I wanted to get to the part where it says, we think .coms are going away. In response to the issue of availability, the internet industry regulator is in the process of reorganizing the internet through the introduction of more than 1,000 new web address endings. Oh, we're getting rid of those .coms. Yeah, I don't think so. For example, businesses in the food and drink industry can now acquire their own .bar and .rest domains. Those in the design industry will soon be able to purchase .design. NickRider.bar.design. PukeInTheGang.podcast. Where can I get the list of the new ones coming out? I don't see them. Well, that was a bunch of silence for no reason. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess .com is still going to be valuable because when you think of something like, and you're trying to just guess a domain, you're going to go blah, 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 .com. But what is the upside to having a .com other than that? Like, if you say my web address is nickrider.podcast, like, is that bad? Or is it because it's another word someone has to remember where everyone can remember a .com in their brain? They can't necessarily remember two words. Like, they can't remember the name and then the end name, the last name. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, marketing's a very, very complicated thing, so I'm sure .com is forever going to be the top thingamajig. It's like, can we think of a... like a comparison to put this to, where there was something that was always first. Like, I guess it's the closest thing you can say is like the brand name is always first. So a Band-Aid is always cooler than a Walgreens adhesive bandage. And NyQuil is always cooler than whatever purple medicine you get at the store. Oh, that reminds me of something. I'm going to try to pull it up. I'm going to look this up on... I've complained about this before on the internet. You can basically see anything on the internet except for, like, things you want to see. Like, say you wanted to see another ad. Sorry, that completely made no sense. You can see anything on the internet except for things you want to see? No, you can see anything on the internet except for, like, what if a YouTube... video starts and then an ad plays right before the YouTube video and you're like, oh my goodness, that was a really amazing ad. Where do I see that ad again? I can't find it. So somehow Facebook knew that I had bought some Z-Quil at the store. I have no idea how it knew. Maybe I looked it up on the internet, but I don't think so. I think it just knew that I was standing in the store looking at some Z-Quil. So when I get home, I go to Facebook and it's like, hey, here's an ad for Z-Quil. And Facebook is so funny because you can comment on ads, right? So someone is running the Z-Quil page on Facebook that is responding to pretty much every person who writes on Facebook. They comment on the ad. So the ad's up. Someone comments and goes, Z-Quil's great. I drink half a bottle a night. And whoever runs the Z-Quil Facebook page has to have this canned response that responds like, never take, not in accordance to the label. And this other person said, I've been taking Z-Quil every day for a year. And the Z-Quil has to respond and go, never take for more than 2 weeks at a time. So Z-Quil's selling this real poisonous drug here. And you're not supposed to take too much of it. What else do we have for the news? I don't have anything huge, except for we need to get to, oh guys, did you hear about Suge Knight? So here's the news on Suge Knight. Remember he ran over that guy? He went to court and he said, I think you should let me out on bail. I don't think they did because they looked at the video and he runs over a guy. Like, very odd. Like, he gunned him. Like, it was bad. You should not be running people over with your trucks, Shugs. Oh, got the hicks. Hiccups. Sorry. Okay. Big news this week. Daniki Tsarov. Wait, what's his name? Dizhakar Tsarnaev, otherwise known as Mr. Boom Boom. Otherwise known as my favorite terrorist, the Boston Bomber. He is on trial. It has started. And apparently the defense started by going up. They stood up and they went, yes, my client did it. Which is, like, I'd fire my defense lawyer. Say I didn't do it. It's going to be hard to prove they didn't do it. Let's look at the footage. It's going to be silent footage, so I'm going to have to narrate. Okay, so here we go. All right, we got two men. Okay, we're going to call it White Hat and Black Hat. White Hat is the guy on trial. Black Hat is not on this plane of sidewalk any longer. Okay, White Hat and Black Hat are walking along the sidewalk. White Hat behind them. They're both carrying bags. They're walking about seven people fats apart. Like car length. I call the width of a person a people fat. Like it's like a car length. Because it wouldn't be a person length because you'd be laying down. So a person fat. Like seven person fats apart. I have problems. So they're walking along. Okay, they're walking through the crowd. Looks like they're just strolling along near the Boston Marathon. Walking down a very crowded marathon. Oh, you can see the runners along the side finishing that race. I wonder if they were late, because they bombed near the end of the thing. Like, it was 4 hours and 15 minutes after the race started, which the winners were already done for, like, over an hour and a half by that point. They are still walking down the very crowded sidewalk. Okay. Oh, this is a high. This is HD. This is like 30 frames per second here. Okay. Oh, here we go. So Black Hat has now disappeared from the shot. White Hat is walking along. He's looking at his phone, He's walking along. He's stopping. He is stopping near a tree. He's pretending to watch the race. Well, he is watching the race. I guess he's not pretending to watch the race. And I'm still watching him. He's circled. I'm waiting for the boom. The boom boom. And this is not well edited. Oh, they cut away to a picture. They cut to pictures of him standing near the tree, like stills. People are clapping. People are waving their little wands at the... Oh, okay. All right. Let's go back. At 1 minute and... 15 seconds into this, everyone jumps. Okay, everyone flinches and starts looking to the left. And this is, if you didn't follow the Boston bombing, one of the bombs went off near the front of the place. One of them went off near, like, further back where White Hat is standing. So it seems like Black Hat has dropped his bomb. And White Hat is still standing by the tree with his bomb when the first one goes off. Or he's dropped it. You can't tell if he's holding it or not because he's blocked by people. Okay, so let's watch this again. At 1:15. Oh, yeah, everyone flinches because it's a very loud noise. Everyone looks way over there. They're staring. They're like, oh, what happened? What happened? Okay, so as soon as the bomb goes off down, White Hat starts taking off. Okay, at this point, he is he's leaving the scene. I'm going to time this right here now. I need to set my watch. Okay, he is now starting to walk away from where he placed down his bag. Starting to walk. He's off screen now. Oh, man, and it blew up. Oh! That's insane. He dropped his bomb 10 seconds later, 10 seconds after he walks away from it. It blows up. Like, you have to know. You either are insanely lucky or you have to know exactly how much damage that's going to do to cut it like that. He's almost still in the frame of the surveillance video when it explodes. And now you're like, Nick, you're watching an explosion? I'm like, yes. You can't see anything happen because when the explosion happens, it creates such a bright light you can't see anything. Now he's running. Everyone's running. So he's just one of the runners now. Not one of the marathon runners. Everyone's running from the scene. And he just happens to be one of the runners just jogging along the sidewalk. Now, I did not see any footage in there that proved he dropped a bomb. All I saw was him walk up to a specific place with a bag, and then it blew up. Or that area blew up. 25 minutes later, they released video of him in the store buying like a sandwich or something. So he's on trial. That's happening. They recently got to the part of the story where they talk about the MIT officer that was allegedly like, so the night, here's how the Boston bombing went down. Okay. Blew up for like 2 days. Nobody knew what happened or who did it. Okay. FBI comes out with these pictures like 2 days later. Oh, here they are. Find them. This is what the people look like. So the two bombers are like, uh-oh. Dude, they're onto us. We got to go. So they are not very well planned. They grab all their stuff, and they're like, we're going to need another. This is allegedly what happened. They're like, we're going to need another gun. Let's go find, like, a cop with a gun. So they go to MIT, and they apparently, attack an officer that's like a security officer, a police officer for the university. Now, I looked at the footage of this alleged assault, and it is so bad. Like, the footage is so bad that people are already saying, you can't tell if there's one person with a shadow or two people that walk up to this car. It was very strange to me that a university officer gets killed at night, no witnesses, almost no footage. And all of a sudden they say, oh, it was the two Boston bombers that killed the university guy? Like, that's weird. Why would you just assume that? Maybe the university guy got killed by someone completely different and he got away from it scot-free because there were two Boston bombers. So either that happened or these are the worst terrorists, worst prepared terrorists ever, and they needed another gun. Like, they couldn't get another gun anywhere else. On the other hand, they had like five pressure cookers ready at the ready to throw at cops. I had other footage, I thought. Oh, yeah, here's the other footage. Okay. And then they allegedly killed the MIT officer. Then they carjack this guy. And they say, we got to get to New York and you're driving us. And we're the Boston Bombers. Drive us. Oh, wait. Just kidding. I need some chips. So here's the footage. Van pulls up. Not a van. It's more like an SUV, I think. Or it might even be a station wagon. All right. I'm going to watch this footage here. It's of a gas station. Looks like it's the one with the red and the yellow. Black hat is heading inside. Oh, no. White hat is heading inside. He's just wearing a black hoodie at this point. We're going to still call him White Hat. He's, so here's what's going on. He's gone inside the gas station. They've got their carjacking victim out in the parking lot already. He's, opening the freezer, looking for some milk. By the way, his picture everywhere. They're like, find the bomber. Here's what he looks like. But then again, you're like a clerk at a gas station. You're not going to notice, right? Unless you're comparing every single person on purpose, what are the chances that the Boston bomber walks into your gas station? Oh, he's looking at chips. Okay, so he got like a Four Loko or something. I'm sure it's not a Four Loko. He's looking at chips. It was probably a Red Bull. Browsing chips. He's in the candy aisle. He's got a victim out in the parking lot, and I assume Black Hat is holding him at gunpoint. And at some point here, The victim realizes he has a chance. He just makes a break for it. He runs out of his driver's seat. So, again, sloppy terrorism here all across the board. He's got an armful of chips, by the way. He is running. The entire country wants him dead. And he's in the gas station going, man, I just can't. I really want some Lay's, but no, that is a big bag of Doritos right there. That is a family size. He is getting ready for a big long trip to New York. He's still standing. He hasn't checked out yet. He hasn't even tried. He is still looking. He's in the cereal aisle. Oh, wait, we got to go back. So it just cut to, okay, so White Hat's still in the store, and then the surveillance video just cuts to the carjacking victim in the parking lot making a break for it. Yeah, he's running. So at this point, they can't open fire on him because it's in a real area. So like, oh crap, our victim just got away. This is where they screwed up. Nobody knew these guys were here. They're shopping for chips. This is where they screwed up, is they let this hostage go. He runs faster than, oh my good, I've never seen a person run faster in my life. And he's on a low frame surveillance video, so it's just like he's skipping. He runs to the, he doesn't even run to the store that the terrorist went to, which makes sense. Oh, I can't believe it. Okay, I got to go back. Wait, I got to watch the video, and now I have to go back. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so here's what happened. So the victim runs off. Okay, the victim runs off. He runs to the next store over. He's off frame. The next thing you see, Black Hat running into the store. Now you assume he's going, oh, crap, the guy just got away. So Black Hat's running into the store. He opens the door. He yells at White Hat. He goes, dude, let's go. Let's go now. He got away. So White Hat starts running out the door, realizes he has an armful of Doritos and Red Bull. I am watching this right now. He runs back into the store to the counter. He doesn't pay for it. He's about to run out the door with Doritos and Red Bull. He's about to run. He's halfway out the door. He runs back inside. He goes, I'm sorry, I gotta go. He dumps it on the counter. And he runs. He's out the door. Oh, yeah, he's running. He jumps in the car. They start up the car. They start up the car. They go. Sloppy. Well, that's your update on the Boston bombing suspect trial. You know what I always do when I am running from the cops after I ran over my brother? I always have a pencil so I can write on the inside of a boat. By the way, that made no sense either. So they're like, oh, White Hat ran over Black Hat. I like how I've named them both, these things, because I can't pronounce their names. So I just say White Hat is the young one on trial. Black Hat's the dead one. White Hat ran over Black Hat. So what happened was Black Hat jumped out of the car. He was shooting, but he ran out of bullets, so we just jumped him. No. Cops would never do that. They would keep shooting. Then we tried to arrest him, and then while we were arresting him, White Hat was, like, charging us, so we had to jump out of the way. But he ran over his brother. That makes no sense. I don't think that actually happened. And then how did they shoot at the boat? How did they shoot at the boat, like, 5 billion times and not kill the kid inside? And where did he get a pencil? That's very convenient that he had a pencil to write out how Arab he was. I don't know. He probably did it. There's probably no conspiracy, but at the same time, it's like that. Some of it doesn't make sense, especially the running over the brother part. I don't think that happened the way they described it. Okay. Well, that is 35 minutes of news with Nick. Let's go over and play the outro, which is the same as the intro. Nick news. Till next time. Bye.